Let's start with a content notification, shall we? The Queer Conjure podcast is about queer people, trans people, witches, marginalized communities that have suffered harm. We're going to talk about that stuff. It's going to be a bit shadowy. We're also going to talk about really joyful stuff that some people might consider offensive, like disobeying the state, like having really amazing sex. So if that doesn't sound like what you want to listen to right now, I invite you to go to another podcast. And if it is something you want to listen to right now, buckle up, babies, because here we go. Hi, queer witches. It's Jasper. I'm recording this episode during a time of heartbreaking tragedy. Gaza has become hell on earth. The Israel-Hamas war has become a siege of unbelievable bloodshed, lack of resources, torture. I encourage you to create direct action in whatever ways you can. Whether that's donations, demonstrations, vigils. I'd also like to remind you that witchcraft is political. When we build petitions in our altar, that is a form of direct action. Witchcraft creates change. Witchcraft exists to restore the balance in a world of disharmony. Let's take a moment, let's take a pause for an intentional breath together and invite our hearts to settle in the present moment, because we're experiencing multiple present moments, some of joy, some of fury, some of the utmost intense grief. So take a deep breath in whatever way feels right to you. Pause. Breathing in, breathing out, I invite you to check in with your heart, to settle in the present moment, and to remember that you are a significant part in creating harmony and restoring peace in the world. Blessed be. Hail and welcome, fellow witches, to the Queer Conjure podcast. I am Jasper Joy. I will be your host for this ride. My pronouns are kind of irrelevant these days. My co-creator, editor, and occasional co-host is Ava the Raven, they, she, or he. Together, we are building one-on-one offerings, workbooks, virtual classes, writing, etc. at queerconjure.org. The intention behind queerconjure.org is to queer the path towards magical liberation. We want to diligently care for our community using magical practices and open-hearted ethics. Thank you so much for being here, cutie pie. Please feel free to share this episode with your friends and perhaps leave a review on Spotify or Apple. Blessed be. Mwah. Hail and welcome, queer witches. We're just a few days away from Samhain, in the place and time that I'm occupying right now. It's also a full moon eclipse. Oof, this eclipse season, man. I know it's been a lot for a lot of us. So Samhain is the time of year where I like to contemplate death, literal and figurative, and I like to honor my ancestors. The blood ancestors that I know of and have a relationship with, my transcestors, those whose names I know and those whose names I don't. My chosen queer literary ancestors whose work has impacted me so deeply that I've asked them to join me on my altar. I like to cover my whole house with marigolds because that is the thing that is absolutely taking over my garden this time of year. So there are bouquets of marigold blossoms all over my altars. I often give my friends bouquets because seriously, my marigolds are fierce. And this is the time of year that I do consider the Witch's New Year. I like to go back and see what I was writing about, what cards I was pulling at the very beginning of the year, and see how things have changed. And I began this year with an episode about the Chariot card, because we're in a Chariot year. I'd like this episode to be mostly about how the Chariot card has changed for me over the span of the seasons. It's been a year, y'all. It's been a fucking year. And I am honored to be able to sit here and reflect on it and share what I have learned with you. I think I want to start by briefly revisiting the New Year's resolution that I made for myself at the beginning of this Chariot year. My New Year's resolution was to further understand and honor my disabilities. So I'm a neuroqueer. I have, well, I paused because I was like, how personal do I want to get? But like, I'm me and I'm wide open. So here we go. I have PTSD. And because of my PTSD, I have pretty significant memory issues. I also have like hardcore ADHD, as I've talked about a few times. And I have I have various challenges with depression and anxiety. And I have decided to honor those rather than see those as things I need to fix or be cured from, because those are not things you can actually, like, cure. So the question becomes, how do I honor them? How do I live with them while maintaining my well-being? And because of that being my resolution, my life is taking on a lot of unprecedented changes. I am in a really wild state of flux right now, but I'm really excited to see what happens on the other end. I asked my tarot cards, who am I becoming? And they gave me the High Priestess. So, holy shit. And I think that it's interesting because the High Priestess is a card about a lot of things, but it's also a card about boundaries, and it's a card about protecting the sovereignty of our inner realm. And when I spoke about the Chariot earlier this year, you're welcome to go back and listen to that episode. It might actually help for this episode to feel a little fuller. I was really focused on the boundaries of the Chariot. And so the Chariot shows these three phases of boundaries. There's the Chariot themselves, who I related to healthy boundaries where connection while maintaining sense of self is possible. And then the water in the background is these porous boundaries, meaning we're sacrificing sovereignty for the sake of connection. And then further behind that is a wall, which I talked about being a rigid boundary, which is like maintaining the sense of self but sacrificing connection. So I feel like the same three boundaries come up in the High Priestess. We have the High Priestess, their self, who is standing before the portal to the superconscious realm, that realm made of water that we can kind of see behind the curtain. And then there's the curtain, that is another boundary, and it is a bit of a porous boundary. And then we have the two pillars, the dark and the light, that are creating this idea of binary. And I definitely see the idea of binary as a rigid boundary that sacrifices connection. And I really feel like these two cards ask a similar question. Who are you and what do you want to do? And what are you experiencing through trial, error, hopefully therapy, about having healthy boundaries? In the Chariot episode, I also talked about the book Polysecure, and a fabulous book I still recommend to all called Boundaries and Protection by Pixie Lighthorse. And you can get 10% off of those books through the link in my website. But there will be a little promo in the episode about that later. So the number 7, which is the number of the Chariot, the number of this year, is a number of victory. I want to remind us, especially myself, none of us are perfect, but we're all worthy of celebration. And the Chariot reminds us of that. The Chariot wants us to remember who we are as individuals and as part of the whole. They want us to challenge this binary thinking and find fluidity between seemingly opposing forces. In Rebecca Skolnick's book, The Witch's Book of Numbers, when she's talking about tarot associations, she says, in the tarot, 7 rules 2 cards of the major arcana. The Chariot seeks to set forth. The tower represents a toppling of epic proportions that can make little sense but require full surrender. It also rules the 7s and the minor arcana, the patience required to make it to the harvest, which is pentacles, the humility needed to hold what is yours, the wands, the daydreams and options that block true clarity, cups, and the big little lies we tell ourselves for big little reasons, which is the swords. Rebecca also talks about the number 7 being the number of spiritual journeying and divine mystery and the esoteric. And I feel really intrigued by this. The Chariot seeks to set forth in both faith and form. Because what the Chariot has been really asking me lately is, where are you going and how do you want to get there? Who are you and what do you want to do? And this is really an important question for me specifically to sit with for the next couple of months, because I really did lose myself by over-identifying with specific parts of who I am. Mainly being a parent and being a partner. Now, it's really hard, nearly impossible, to not over-identify with being a parent, especially when you have little kids, especially when you have children with high needs and disabilities and mental wellness issues, which is me. And yeah, so getting personal for a minute, I have been home with my child 24/7 this year, engaging in 15 hours of therapy, and it still hasn't been enough to meet the needs of my child to be safe and well in their bodies and in their surroundings. So I'm having to make some really big, kind of like Seven of Swords decisions about what kind of care my kid needs. And it's scary. And I'm also separating from my nesting partner. They're moving out. My stepchild is moving out. So this question of who do I want to be and what do I want to do and how can I set forth in faith and form? Those just feel like high priestess questions. And the high priestess is like, it's a mystery, bitch. You'll figure it out. But yeah, the high priestess appearing when I ask, who am I becoming? And the chariot is on their way out and asking me, what do I want to do about it? How do I want to get there? It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to have to mean that I engage with really scary transitions and just have faith that as I set forth in this, I will be on the other side completely reformed, reclaimed, remembered, and released. Yeah, and that's how the chariot has changed for me. You know, at the very beginning of the year, it was like, hey, you really have to examine your boundaries. And it was absolutely a year of learning about my boundaries. My dog is making noise in the background. And now I'm at this, like, next level of the chariot of, like, how do I set forth in faith and form? Who am I? Who am I becoming? And how do I want to be that? What do I want to do with it? So that's what the chariot is speaking to me about. I'm curious what it's speaking to you about. And I would also really love to read to you from the Slow Holler guidebook. The Slow Holler is a much coveted queer tarot deck. It's been out of print for far too long. And I'm lucky enough to have a sweetheart that lent me their deck. So I'm going to read to you what the Slow Holler has to say about the chariot number 7. Try something you've never tried. Throw away your atlas. Let yourself move. Trust your momentum. Release the past. Let your experiences be giddy and new. Let your options expand. The chariot is a vehicle for breaking free, whether by carving out a triumphant course in spite of opposition or by expanding your consciousness. You've moved from a micro world constrained by rules, structures, and limitations to a world of limitless possibility. I do hope so. Freedom often implies movement away from what has been trapping you or toward your goal and desires. It's the movement at which you've broken away and you get to consider what you're moving toward. You've taken the first step away from the past. Now you control the speed at which you proceed and where to set your sights. You have escaped a situation that was constricting your spirit. Ugh, dude. Now, where do you want to go? The energy of the chariot is exhilarating, expansive, and often quite giddy. The movement toward freedom can be passionate and reckless and should include a time for sober reflection on the implications of your new choices. When the chariot appears in your reading, it's a time to celebrate your newfound freedom or take that bold leap you know you need to and then allow yourself a pause to reflect on the wisest course forward. Well, hot damn, slow holler. Way to kick me in the butt. So, literary ancestors are quite a delight of mine this time of year. Hans Christian Andersen is somebody that I've been inviting to be my chosen literary ancestor for a couple years now. Hans was queer, like me. Hans was Danish, like me. And they wrote most of the fairy tales that we all know very well, like The Ugly Duckling, The Emperor's New Clothes, The Little Mermaid. Hans was also a poet. And in the spirit of Samhain, I want to read one of Hans's poems called The Dying Child. This poem does talk about angels. If that's not your thing, go ahead and skip ahead a couple minutes. I know that religious trauma is real. So here we go. The Dying Child by Hans Christian Andersen. Mother, I'm tired, and I would fain but sleeping. Let my repose on thy bosom sick. But promise me that thou wilt leave off weeping, because thy tears fall hot upon my cheek. Here it is cold, the tempest raveth madly, but in my dreams all is so wondrous bright. I see the angel children smiling gladly when from my weary eyes I shut out light. Mother, one stands beside me now, and listen. Dost thou not hear the music's sweet accord? See how white wings beautifully glisten. Surely those wings were given him by Lord. Green, gold, and red are floating all around me. They are the flowers the angels scattereth. Should I also have wings while life has bound me? Or, mother, are they given alone in death? Why dost thou clasp me as if I were going? Why dost thou press thy cheek so unto mine? Thy cheek is hot, and yet thy tears are flowing. I will, dear mother, will always be thine. Do not sigh thus, if merith my reposing. But if thou weep, then I must weep with thee. Ah, I am tired, my weary eyes are closing. Look, mother, look, the angel kisseth me. And I just want to offer a silent breath to any parents who have lost a child this year. I believe in the Summerlands, and I hope that the children are dancing merrily there. Or if you have another idea about what happens after death, I hope that whatever vision you have is bringing you some comfort. Blessed be. Another chosen literary ancestor and tarot ancestor. She is new to my altar because she passed away April 7th of this year, 2023, at the age of 77. So Rachel Pollack was a transgender tarot expert, author of science fiction, comic book writer, and very near and dear to my heart. The very first tarot workshop I ever took, 78 Degrees of Wisdom, was required reading. And that was a bazillion years ago, and it is still the book that I reference most when I am researching tarot. So I want to take a little bit of the book 78 Degrees of Wisdom and read it to you. And since we're talking about the closing of the chariot year, it'll be a little bit about the chariot. And just for a little bit of context, when Rachel Pollack talks about the first line in this little excerpt. She's talking about the three lines of seven. The three lines of seven, that's something that I still teach in my tarot classes. So if you take the major arcana and you take the Fool out, you can place all of the major arcana cards into three lines of seven. And the first line is like this awakening, this becoming conscious. And then the second line is kind of like the subconscious. And the third line is the superconscious. So Rachel Pollack on The Chariot. When we look at the cards sequentially, we see that seven is the only victory of the first line of the major arcana. It crowns that line's process of maturation. But by necessity, it cannot address the great areas of the unconscious and superconscious. Seen this way, the Chariot shows us the developed ego. The lessons of the early cards have been absorbed. The adolescent period of searching and self-creation have passed. And now we see the mature adult, successful in life. Who's a mature adult? I don't know any. Anyway. And now we see the mature adult, successful in life, admired by others, confident and content with himself or themself or herself, able to control feelings and above all, to direct the will. Like the magician, the charioteer carries a magic wand. Unlike the magician, he does not raise it above his head to heaven. His power is subordinate to his will, or their will. Their hands hold no reins. Their strong character alone controls the opposing forces in life. Rachel Pollack, merry meet, merry part, merry meet again. I hope you are having the time of all your lives in the Summerlands. And I really look forward to your next reincarnation. Blessed be. I miss you. Hey, I have a question for you. Are you a narrow queer witch? Fabulous, so are we. We believe there is an inherent sacredness connecting queerness, transness, magic, and neurodivergence. Neuroqueer was originally coined by Nick Walker, PhD, as a verb, a way to subvert ourselves from normativity and heteronormativity simultaneously. Queer conjures all about that. Queer conjure is all about subverting the normative and evoking, that's a word now, magical liberation. So if you are a neuroqueer witch, we want to hear from you. Send us an audio recording up to 4 minutes long, describing the ways being a neuroqueer informs your witchcraft. Just email jasperhawthorne@gmail.com. Go to queerconjure.org and hit contact us and give us an attachment of your audio and we'll share it on the podcast. Blessed be. Mwah. I'd like to return for a moment to the Chariot's message of escaping a situation that was constricting my spirit. And now, where do I want to go? So in September of this year, I had the utmost privilege to work in the healing space at Sex Down South. I am not being hyperbolic when I say that experience changed my life. I was able to connect with a couple of queer witches who filled my cup in a way that I wasn't aware I so desperately needed. And I was able to connect with sex magic that wasn't solo and reintroduce myself to the potency of those spontaneous spell castings when two queer witches are just pouring themselves into each other in orgasmic fucking glory. I fell in love with myself. I fell in love with other people. I fell in love with all these different types of bodies that can carry all these different types of energy and connect in all these different kinds of ways. So escaping a situation that was constricting my spirit, that is what happened when I went to Sex Down South. And it was a portal into a new project that I am working on with some fellow queer witches that I met at Sex Down South. It's still a little baby sapling sprout, possibly still a seed, so I don't want to talk too much about it, but it inspired a sex magic evocation or incantation that I want to share with you. When I was in formal witchcraft training, I was taught that an evocation was calling something into the circle with you. An invocation was calling something into your body with you. And an incantation was sending something out into the world to come true. I kind of feel like what follows is all three of those things, so I'll let you decide. But I wanted to share this with you because writing it and creating it happened. I woke up from a dream with it in my head at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had to record it. And I feel really excited to share it with you. So here goes. And yes, I'm aware that I sound very echoey. I am currently standing in a room that is now empty. And it's going to be my recording studio soon. But right now it's just an empty purple square. So there's going to be some echo for a while. Okay, here goes. Goddess of witches with many names, fill this space and feed our flames. We offer these rituals of pleasure and love, as below and so above. Enter our breath, our blood, our bones. Feed on our ecstatic moans. Goddess of witches with many names, feed on our rapture and feed our flames. We offer these rituals of pleasure and love, as below and so above. Dear listeners, my dear fellow queer witches, I bid you a blessed Samhain. May your ancestors visit you sweetly. May your dreams be full of healing grief. There's a poem that Beverly Glenn Copeland wrote called A Spell for the Present Moment. And one of the lines gives me goosebumps every time. Live a life that's worth your grief. Samhain calls us home. Samhain calls our ancestors home. Samhain offers us a container for shedding tears, for letting grief out and open to fresh air. The veil is at its thinnest. This is a time of potent energy from the ones who have come before us to use in the present moment now. Because all time exists at the same time. I invite you to set places at your table for the ones that you are missing. If that's a cat, maybe a couple treats on a fluffy cat bed. If that's your uncle, maybe you have his favorite beer on the table, you know, that kind of thing. I just want to take another breath and honor you however you are right now. I know that life is fucking hard. I know that life is full of grief. But we have so many present moments, and so many of them are also filled with joy and pleasure and liberation. And Queer Conjure always aims to queer the path towards magical liberation. And we welcome you on that path with us. Merry meet, merry part, merry meet again. Blessed be. I have something to tell you. I am a book nerd and a bit of an anarchist. You might have noticed already. And that is why I am so deeply honored to be an affiliate of Firestorm Books. Firestorm Books is a collectively owned radical bookstore and community event space in Asheville, North Carolina. Since 2008, Firestorm Books has supported grassroots movements in Southern Appalachia while developing a workplace on the basis of cooperation, empowerment, and equity. If you go to queerconjure.org and on the upper menu bar, there's a link labeled books. You just click that link to browse a list of my, Jasper, favorite books. Anything you purchase through that link will return 10% back to me to support the creation of this podcast. So say you buy a book for $30, Firestorm sends me $3. Firestorm's mission is to demonstrate the feasibility and desirability of a workplace based on free cooperation. They seek to sustain and nourish their collective through fulfilling work, personal empowerment, and equitable compensation while providing a hub for anarchist thought and culture in WNC. Before we wrap up this episode, I just want to take another moment to send our attention and intentions to the people in Gaza who are experiencing mass genocide. I want us to take a moment and think about, what can we do? And I want to point out that the U.S. government is funding and enabling mass genocide. And I'm fucking pissed. Queer rage is magic. Witchcraft is political. You have everything you need in your body to create change. So take a moment. Breathe. See if you can access a point in your body that knows how to create change. Ava and I have added a link to some resources that we think are potentially helpful. If you have other resources for ways to aid the people who are under siege, please do reach out and let us know. And if you would like to offer a prayer or an incantation or a statement about the Israel-Hamas war that's going on right now, I don't even like calling it that anymore because that's not actually what's happening. I'm fucking pissed. I know you are too. And I'm offering our platform for your voice, should you choose to use it. I'm just pausing because I'm so sad. And there's so much suffering. And we need to pay attention to that. Don't turn away from the news just because it's hard. Turning away from the news because it's hard is a fucking privilege. Not one that gets us anywhere. I'm all about leveraging privilege to help others. Ignoring the news is not a privilege that helps anybody. Give your attention to the suffering and find ways you can help reduce it, if not end it. Again, if you want to make a prayer, incantation, statement, song, poem, whatever about what's happening right now, please send it to us at queerconjure.org and we will add it to this platform. Blessed be. This has been another fabulous episode of the Queer Conjure podcast, produced by Jasper and edited by Ava. Our theme music is by Mother Marrow. Our interviews and conversations are recorded via Zoom and published through Podcaster's Spotify. You can listen to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and find out more at queerconjure.org. Blessed be. Mwah.